Well, if you got your Bibles this evening, we're going to be in Acts chapter number 5. You know, preaching the shed blood of Jesus Christ is not popular in our day and age. Talking about salvation is not popular in our day and age. And sure enough, witnessing is looked down upon in our day and age. So many people think that witnessing and talking about Christ is a thing of the past. But you know, God chose the foolishness of preaching to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel is to be spread by each and every person in this world. So when I think about the gospel, it all starts with the apostles. You know, the men that were there with Jesus as he was here on this earth, they were there for that earthly ministry. You know, I can't imagine what they went through. Some of the glorious stuff that they had Christ there with them each and every day for 3 years, training them, talking about them, preparing them for what was about to happen. And just perfect. Every day you'd wake up with Christ. You know, I believe that they followed him fully. As they would travel, they would, where are we going today? What are we going to do today? And they got to see so many miracles that he had done each and every day. You know, it is said that if every word that Christ spoke during his ministry was written down, all the books in the world could not hold those words. We just have a part of the stuff here that God thinks is applicable to us. But these men were with him every single day. To me, that's just amazing. And then they had to watch what he went through. They had to watch him die. And they were human. They hurt. I remember Christ preparing them for what was going to happen. They didn't understand when he said that he was going to leave them. But he said, one is going to comfort you when I'm gone, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave him here with you. And I'm glad we have that Holy Spirit with us today. I'm glad that Holy Spirit shows us things today. But can you just imagine being there with Christ day in and day out, leaving everything that you've known? I mean, literally walking away from your profession, from your home, from all of your belongings, and following him. And then to see him die. You know, Andrew talked this morning about how he came into that room that they were in, how he showed up there. I'm sure they were there and they were there for a prayer meeting, but they're human. They were sobbing, they were crying, they were having pity on themselves. I mean, Thomas, he spoke up, and Thomas was very spiritual. When you learn about Thomas, Thomas gets kind of a bad rap at times for being doubting, but he did say some things when they told him. He says, I seen the man die. I won't believe it. I will not believe it until I can put my hands in those scars. And I think it was funny the second time that Jesus appeared to him, because Thomas wasn't there the first time. It took him 8 days to get there. After Christ had rose again from the grave. And what's the first thing? As they're sitting there, and I'm sure he's still telling them, you guys are crazy, I'm not going to listen to this, and just having a hard time with it. And Christ says, Thomas, here I am. You want to feel my scars and my hands and on my side? And Thomas said, I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. He sent these men out. He told them to go. These were the first men that were witnessing to this world. They were the first ones commanded to go. And it would have been hard without their leader, because they were used to having Christ in the flesh. And some of these men stepped up. Well, they all stepped up, but some of them we hear about a little more than others. And tonight we're going to talk about Peter and John a little bit. When I think about who Jesus is to us and the examples that he set on how we're supposed to be like him, you can't overlook the fact that as Christians, we're to tell other people about him. So we're going to start in chapter number 5 and verse number 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they were with him, and called the council together. And all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. When the officers came, they found them not in the prison. They returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Let's bow our heads this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Scriptures as we study them a little bit this evening, Lord. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit is with us and that it goes person to person, Lord, and it speaks to our heart this evening, Lord. Lord, I pray that I convey your message, not mine, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you search us tonight and that you speak to our hearts and that you comfort us and that you help us grow in your word and spirit. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. See, Peter and John, they had been told they weren't allowed to preach the name of Jesus. They had been told that even saying that name wasn't allowed. It was forbidden. They had been told there would be consequences for this. And as they're talking about Jesus, they're here around about Jerusalem, and they're doing exactly what he taught them to do. It says they're going together, and they are healing people. They are doing miracles, as we will call them, in our day and age, and they're trying to be as much like Christ as they can be. They had listened to their mentor and their teacher, and they were trying to tell everyone the great news that they had in their hearts. As they came upon the elders there, the elders heard they were back in the city, and they put them into the common jail for common thieves, murderers, and killers. They had locked them up, and they had planned on keeping them there. Yes, eventually they would stand trial for their blasphemy, as they called it, but they were doing what the Lord had told them to do. And I believe they were going to sit in that prison for a long time. I believe they were going to sit there in the mind of the Sadducees until they got some sense, as they would put it, or as we would put it in our dialect. But God had a different plan. God sent an angel there by night and opened up the prison for him. See, they were taken from that place. As they were following God, God helped them. And they were told to go back and preach in the temple, middle of town. And that's what they had done. I couldn't imagine the look on those people's face when they found that they weren't there anymore. I can see him going and saying, we don't know what to say. Have no idea where these guys are. All the doors are locked. All the guards are in place. They're gone. It's amazing how God works, isn't it? How he takes care of his people. Look at verse number 28. Saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. See, they were guilty and they knew it. I don't know what was going through these men's head. They had already done some of the most heinous acts that you can think of. These are the men that were there and they helped stir up with the Pharisees, the people chanting, crucify Christ, crucify Christ, crucify him. And they seen Christ die. And they also seen him raise again. Now, I don't know how wicked your heart has to be, but they had so much hatred and they didn't want to lose their power and they didn't want to lose their heritage, as we would call it. They didn't want to change as the Lord was telling them the new way for salvation, the way that had been spoke to them for over 2,000 years about the Messiah coming. They wanted to stay in their own comfort zone. They wanted things to be complacent in the way that they had always been. And they were willing to do anything to do that. As far as a not hear the name of Jesus, as far as killing someone that said that name, I'm so glad we don't have that persecution where we are today. I'm so glad that we can freely speak the name of Jesus Christ today and we can talk about how great he is. But verse number 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They were ready to lay down their lives for God. They were ready to die for what Jesus had done for them. They were ready to do anything. The God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. They were preaching the salvation through Jesus Christ. And I like that part where they said on there, we are his witnesses of these things. See, this is where the witness comes in, the witness for Christ. They're a witness of what happened to him, and so is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost was there with Christ. He was able to see everything. And anyone that has obeyed God and invited Christ in his heart has been sealed with the Holy Ghost, they have the same knowledge. You're to be that same witness as the apostles were for Jesus. You're to tell them what happened, that he was the Son of God, and that there's no other way around it. I hate how history looks at, or how we look at Christ. Any other event that we have in history, people believe. Christ was seen by over 500 historians, not mentioning the apostles and everyone else. He was a real figure. He lived. He died. He rose again. And time is based on that. B.C. and A.D. Before Christ and A.D. in the year of our Lord. Even back then, all historians agreed that Christ was the timeline. Our day and age, we're trying to change that with BCE and things like that. But it is before Christ. And AD is in the year of our Lord. And I'm so glad that Christ rose again. But I also like what this next gentleman says here. This next gentleman actually was one of those elders. He was one of those men that I don't think he believed Christ. But he says something very profound. And he also, as we'll read later, he becomes the teacher of Saul. It's amazing how God uses people. But verse number 33 reads, "When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." See, the gospel of Christ, when you hear it, it does something in your heart. When God deals with your heart with the Holy Spirit, there's something that happens. It convicts you of your sins. It lets you know that you're condemned and you're separated from God. And you have a choice to make. That choice is not God's. That choice is yours. That choice is either to obey the Holy Spirit of God and accept who Christ is, or to reject it. And a lot of times when you reject it, your heart can get hardened or evil. These men's heart were already there. It says their heart was cut, and the first thought that came to their mind is, we have to kill these guys. Instead of dealing with our problem, our sin, let's kill these men. That's a wicked heart. That's someone that needs to hear this message. Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up in Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happy ye be found ever to fight against God." Here's what he says. Give these men some space. There's been many men like them before. And he gives a couple instances that we wouldn't have a clue who they were. Neither history knows who they are, really. But these men knew who they were, how they drew a crowd away from the temple. And he says something that's really, really profound. He says, let them preach this, give them their space, because if it's from man, it'll fizzle out and die. Nothing will come of it. It can't hurt us. But if it's from God, how can we fight God? How can we fight God? Now, I find that pretty perplexing for a man who was with his predecessors, the other elders there that were passing judgment on him, that had two men that were just locked up, maybe more, that were freed from prison, and yet they don't see God working. They don't see God working because they are so blinded by their sins and trespasses. See, our world is like that today. Our world is very wicked. Our world is blinded. Our world is so consumed and controlled by sin, you can't turn on the radio, a TV interaction without seeing it. And we need to call it sin because that's what it is. But see, for people to have to deal with their sin and to change, that's hard. They need to hear about Jesus, but they also need to see personal testimonies. They need to see how we live our lives. See, these men here weren't very much at all. What they had done previously, where they were warned, they were brought on trial for what they had done. If you read a little back further in the book of Acts, they were brought before that wicked Sanhedrin court. They were found guilty. But because so many people were there, they didn't pass the judgment of death upon them. Instead, they told them, they give them a pass. And they beat them and sent them on their way and told them never to speak the name of Jesus again. And here they are doing the same thing. But yet God intervened for them. The prison that they were going to set in, that's not what what God's plan was. His plan was to further the gospel of His Son. His plan was to let them be able to talk about Jesus Christ. And when I think about us today, about how freely we can speak about Jesus Christ, but we don't. Some of the things that we do is we may look at some of these great men like this and say, I'm not that talented. It would be hard for me to speak to someone about Christ. What would they think of me? I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. Well, when they were tried in front of the court, they spoke the gospel of Jesus Christ as plainly as anyone could. It cut those men's hearts. And it said those men looked at each other and they thought to themselves, how can these unlearned men sit here and be able to correct us in court? How, in their eyes, they were beneath them. We know God's not a respecter of person, but God uses each and every person in this room. And our goal is to preach the gospel to each and every person in this world. And it's not just to say, do you know who Jesus Christ is? It is to get on their level and tell them. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is basic. The basic gospel of Jesus Christ is we all have a need. We're all born into this world with sin. It comes from a sinful nature. That one sin we commit condemns us, separates us from God, and we're under that condemnation. And the only way to be reconciled, I like that term reconciled because most people know what the term save means, but they really don't have a clue what it is. I say reconciled because that's what they have to be with God. Their sin has to be dealt with. Their sin has to be forgiven. And the only way for that to happen is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who was sinless, who came here and He gave His life for us. He lived a sinless world. He got to see what it was like to be a human being, as flawed as we are. He loved us. He was perfect. And He died for each and every one of our sins. Your price of sin is paid for by that shed blood of Jesus Christ. The hardest part is done. All you have to do is realize that you are helpless, realize that you are a sinner, and that there's nothing that you can do on your own. That is hard to do as a human being, to admit that we do have sin in our lives and that it's not right. And then the easiest thing to do is to believe who Jesus was. You can't deny that He was the Son of God when you look at history alone. But with the Word of God, oh, from the beginning until the end, everything is perfect. There is not a flaw in the story of Christ, our Messiah. And then you just have to believe on Him and ask Him. The easiest thing to do in the world, but it's so hard for people. That's why we have to talk to them. That's why we have to be able to try to explain it in general terms. We can't say, have you been saved? You know what salvation is? Do you have a need? Most people have heard terms like that, and most people are going to be like this next person that I think about. I think about Judas Iscariot. He was handpicked by Christ to be one of the apostles. This man was like you and me. He had free will. He had a choice to make. When Christ asked him to follow me, I believe that he was all in like anyone else would be. He left what he knew. He left his home. He left his profession. He followed Christ. He was there with him day in and day out. And you know, he did a lot of good works. He did a lot of good works. But there was something that was holding him back. See, it was tradition on his part. He grew up and he was a devout Jew. He had heard the stories of the Messiah, and he had to tell himself a lie. The miracles he got to witness and the things that he got to see, if only we could be able to see that ourselves, that would be amazing. I would love to be able to go back and just see Jesus to perform one miracle. I know that that sounds horrible, but me, can you imagine? Can you imagine the things these men got to see every day? And he had to tell himself a lie. Maybe he's like, oh, he just must be a prophet of God or a good man. But he had a problem. His problem was pride, is what it started with. He wanted to do things his way. But then, as he was doing things his way, that sin caught up with him. And with sin, it abounds. Sin causes death. And then, he was tempted. Take a look at John chapter number 12. See, he's like everybody else. He thinks, what's little sin going to hurt? Hey, I'm one of the 12 best people in the world. I'm right here with Jesus. I was handpicked by him, right? There's some pride there. You know, I can dab a little bit in sin. Kind of sounds like some of our church today, doesn't it? Hey, I know who he is. Some of them might even be saved. Judas wasn't, of course. He played the part. Verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and bare what was therein. He's a thief. Holding the usury for Christ himself, he was pilfering or stealing a little bit of money out of it. See that pride that he had? That he boasted about himself with. Hey, look at me, I'm with Christ. I know who he is, I'm with him every day. But what's a little sin going to hurt? That sin grew. He became a thief. And from there, that greed that was in his heart led him to betray Christ. For 30 pieces of silver. Our Lord and Savior was betrayed by a man that he mentored. By a man that had a choice to either accept or reject who he was. And his greed and his envy and his sin came to a head. And after he had seen what they had done to Jesus, he was broken. He wanted nothing to do with it. He was distraught. His life was ruined. Sounds like sin in our day and age. Oh, how did I get this far out in sin? My life is ruined. How can I ever get back to that sweet fellowship with God? What will people think of me? What am I to do? Oh, if I just had someone that would give me a second chance and speak Christ to me. Oh. He threw the money back and went and hanged himself. Oh. How tragic that is. But he was telling himself a lie. I wonder how many people have been to our church that have sat right where we sit day in and day out. And we know, oh, we know who Jesus is. But we either don't accept him like Judas did, or maybe we do accept him, but we step out and we never, never tell anyone about Christ, and our life is still in peril and vexed. We talked about Lot last week. What a sad story he was. He was saved as saved could be. The Bible even says, it talks about him in the New Testament, it says he vexed his soul. How many Christians today vex their soul by not being in the house of the Lord? By maybe stepping out into sin, which is not beyond any of us. We all have that nature in us. But yet, they step out and they're afraid. They're looking for someone to come, maybe knock on their door and say, do you know who Christ is? Yeah, I know who Christ is. I got saved such and such. Do you go to church anywhere? Can I pray for you? Is there anything that I can do? You know, some of those people are saved and they're going through a horrible time. That Holy Spirit will deal with their heart. That Holy Spirit will bring out things, and they may tell you stuff to pray for them that might shock you. But you know what? We've all got that same nature. We're to pray with them and try to get them back on the walk that they should be with the Lord. Sometimes we're too afraid. Sometimes when someone says, oh, I'm a Christian, oh, I've been saved, we just say, okay. And we leave it at that. We don't try to be a blessing or help to them by trying to pray with them and letting the Holy Spirit deal with our hearts and theirs. It's not that we're prying. It's not that we're trying to find information. It's not that we're trying to snoop. We're just there to be a blessing. But sometimes we're afraid to do things. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 6. We all know the story here. This is about Stephen the martyr. Now Stephen was a good man. He's chosen by the apostles. He was discipled by him, and he was doing a good work. Acts 6, verse number 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Here Stephen's doing the same thing. The apostles had discipled him, and he's going out and he's preaching Christ. And the men there heard him, and he was drawing the crowds away. He was drawing the crowds away from the religious society. The people that knew who the true God was, but in their hearts, they didn't accept the Messiah. They had their hearts hardened against Christ. If they would have only listened. It says the words that he spake was with the Holy Ghost with him. And Stephen told them the story of Christ. He started in Moses. And he went through Abraham and he tied the lineage together, and there was no doubt what he spoke to them was not spirit-filled. And they brought men against him as false witnesses to proclaim that he blasphemed the word of God. And what did they do? They stoned him. They found him guilty, and he was stoned at the feet of Saul. Saul of Tarsus, the most feared name of that time by any person that was a follower of Jesus Christ. See, as witnesses today, as we prepare and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we should be able to go out and talk to anyone. We shouldn't have that fear of what happens if they ask me this question. Well, guess what? We're all human. You know what? I don't know. I'm not quite sure on that. But is it okay if I take a couple days and get back with you? What's a good time to talk to you? What's wrong with telling someone that? Hey, they have a question for you, and it's probably something that could be out there, could be a hard question, could be some false doctrine. And if you can't answer right then and there, hey, can I make a time to get back with you? And then you do a little studying, maybe talk to the pastor, or maybe talk to one of the pastor's friends if he tells you to. We've had questions where we've got together as a group and had to talk about it. And hey, I was asked this. And we get together and we discuss it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a fear that most of us have. Most of us wouldn't even be like Stephen. They can't kill us for preaching the gospel in our day and age, where we live at. It happens in other parts of the world. But when's the last time that you heard someone be a martyr for speaking Jesus Christ in the United States? I mean, the most that people do is they get crabby with us and yell at us, say a few curse words. I'm sure everyone's had someone mad at him one time or another. But you know what? You're trying to reach them with the only hope of this world. And you talk about Christ, and you rely on that Holy Spirit to deal with their hearts. I can't get through to them. Man, I have family members that are lost and dying, going to hell, and I have to pray for them. And I pray that you pray for them tonight. They're hard cases. But you know what? They've heard the gospel. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts. I've even prayed for my brother that the Lord will put him in the worst place in his life to get him to accept who Christ is and to be reconciled with God. And that's a hard prayer. But I'd rather have him be in a bad place and be able to know who Christ was and be able to step foot in heaven one day than to go to a lake of fire of eternal hell. And that's what we have to get serious about today. We've got to look at people not as beneath us, not as ignorant, not as sinful, and not trying to shut them out, but looking at them as hurting, as lost, as needing something that we can only give them as Christians, that we can only talk about Jesus, about how they can have peace in their heart for the first time ever, about how that peace can only come from God, about how that peace can change their lives, will make them a new person. Or someone that may have had that peace at one time. I know lots of people that I believe are saved, and they've had a zeal for God, and they've even gone out, and I've seen them soul win before. I've seen them talk about God, and then I've seen something happen in their lives, and they get away from church. Had a friend that was like that. Always, always talking about Christ. Always trying to reach the world with his gospel. But then something changed in his life. He made a few bad mistakes. Now he's out of church. I talked to him and I said, you know how great God is. You know how great Christ is. Wouldn't you want to be back in fellowship? Excuse me. And he says, I don't want the guilt or shame the way people will look at me. I can't handle that. And I say, but you can handle the knowledge. You can handle the knowledge of having blood on your hands. You can handle the knowledge of someone dying and go to hell because of you. I mean, that's the brutal truth. If we're not fulfilling the Great Commission, if we're not telling people about Christ, there are people that are going to die and go to hell around us. We do not live for ourselves. We do not live for ourselves. And somebody is always watching us. The Bible tells us that. But we have got to make a purpose in our heart of who Jesus is to us. And are we going to witness? Are we going to be good stewards of what He's given us? Why would we not want to tell the world about how great He is to us? Who cares if they look at us funny? Who cares if they call your name? Who cares if they curse at you and slam the door in your face? I don't even care if they come and throw something in my house. At least I've told them about Christ. Someone that maybe has fallen back, at least I've told them, I care for you. I would rather see you here and sitting next to me and people look at you funny and call your names and talk behind your back and do the same to me. And know that you're being reconciled with God, that your walk with Him is being corrected, and that you're doing the right things that you need to do, and I'll try to be there with you. Not for my glory, not for me to say anything, but for the glory of God. That's what we have to look at. We have to look at about obedience. Last person I think about tonight, we all know who it is. Paul, the chiefest of sinners. I think about Paul, and I think, what happens if he was as stubborn as Peter was the first time? Peter denying the Lord 3 times when he says that what I tell you to do is not unclean. What I've made is not unclean. Peter didn't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. He didn't. Didn't want to eat their food, didn't want to talk to them, and wasn't sure about salvation. He even brought witnesses with him so he can say, here's what I did and why. See, there was still conflict in that early church. There were still problems with the Gentiles. And a lot of the Jews still thought they were beneath them. I thank God for loving us. And I thank God for not being a respecter of person. And I thank you for sending Peter. And I thank you for sending Paul and all the apostles. But Paul was a rough case. He studied under the Pharisee Gamaliel. You know, the guy that said something that was really smart. I think he was probably led by God a little bit on that. But he didn't believe in the Christians at all. He didn't believe in the followers of Jesus. And he had taught this hatred and it was passed on to Saul of Tarsus, which later became Paul. And he wanted to kill and wipe out Christians. And really, it was from tradition for him. He was just told it by his mentors. He didn't have the power they had. He wasn't going to lose what they thought they were about to lose, the control, the money, the gain. See, it goes back to that greed, that sin, and that pride, and wanting to be better than we are. They didn't want to deal with that. And here a man is who is so wicked, he was killing, beating, stoning, and dragging men, women, and children back to be tried. He was doing God's work in his eyes. I don't know about you, but that's not God's work. See, our God sacrificed for us. We don't have to sacrifice for Him. He did it all for us. There's nothing that we can do except accept that gift. And here Paul was on that road. And can you imagine the testimony that he had? When he told the gospel of Christ, he says, Christ came to me and blinded me. I was so wicked. And he had a choice to make. Either accept who he was or reject him. That's a statement, to be blinded. So far in sin, the light's so bright you can't see. But I'm glad that he accepted what Christ had, like the decision each and every one of us had to make. I pray each and every person in this room is saved. And if you're not, tonight's the night to do that, to get reconciled with God. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'll be the first one to shake your hand and give you a hug, if that's okay. I won't look down on anyone. I don't want anyone in this room to be like Judas and be living a lie. But I'm glad that Paul, wherever he went, he just spoke the gospel of Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection, and the sacrifice, and the free gift. That's what he did. And his life was a testimony. And he knew his past, and he knew how horrible it was. And he says, no one's worse than I am. No one's worse than I am. See, when we look at people and we talk to people, we can say, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to feel like you're too bad to be saved. Let me tell you about this guy in the Bible. How wicked he was, how his life changed. Wow. Oh, man. I'm so glad that Paul listened to the Holy Spirit, and he listened to God, and that he preached that message to the Gentiles. That he didn't care. His blinders fell off, and a man that hated that name of Jesus Christ found a peace in his heart and a love that he never had toward his fellow man. And he gave it all to Christ. He didn't hesitate. He didn't backtrack. It would have been easy for him to take a step back. And you know, the Pharisees had to entice him at times, tell him, hey, if you quit preaching that, we've got this nice house over here for you. You can come over here and you can have all these students. You can have all this money and all these riches. You don't have to just wear worn out clothes and sandals and go from town to town and not know where your next meal is. You'll have servants. Oh, he was enticed. He was. But he left all of that for Christ. And everywhere he went, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to make up in our minds this evening. Are we going to follow Christ? Who is he in our hearts? All I know is my heart, and there's nothing good in my heart. I've got to pray, and I've got to have God help me every single day. But in my heart, is Christ where he needs to be? In my heart, can I say, Lord, what I have is yours, and mean it? Can I step out by faith? Can I say, Lord, whatever you have me to do, I will do it? That's the kind of witnesses we need in our world today. And we don't have to be preachers. We don't have to be evangelists. We need to be Christians. We need to talk about Jesus with everyone, just as they're a friend. And it doesn't have to be eloquent. And it doesn't have to have 200 Bible verses. It just has to be honest and genuine. Let me tell you about who Jesus is to me. Could you have that conversation with someone? Can you say, I want to tell you about how Jesus has changed my life? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father,